What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining us here for the Tuesday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. This is a very special edition as I am joined by Michael Simeone, SP streamer on Twitter. You guys already know him. Michael, thank you so much for joining us here tonight.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
You just had a good Thanksgiving, like we were talking off air. You had got some good food into you.
Yeah. As we're saying, I made like 96 raviolis from scratch. I did the turkey, and because I host Thanksgiving, and it all came out good. I mean, no one's gonna lie to your. I mean, people are gonna lie to your face anyway. But from what I heard, it was good.
Yeah, ravioli's tough. My mom makes ravioli every now and again, and it's not easy. It's a long process, and I know she's gone through a few times of making it where it's been pretty bad. I hope she's not listening to this to hear that, but there's been a couple times, where it hasn't come out the greatest. And then, you know, it takes a bit of time to really truly get the hang of making pasta, making anything really. Before we get going, you guys follow Michael on Twitter at SP Streamer. I am at Joe Orico 99, and also check out our other fantasy baseball content at Ethos Fantasy BB. We're going to be reviewing the top tier of starters from 2022. Not necessarily, like I told Michael, based on the ADP numbers that we've seen so far this year. This is more so going to be, we're going to look forward as well, but this is going to be a review of what happened in 2022. We'll mention their ADPs so far in these early draft champions, and we'll talk about if we think they are generally right or not. The first guy we're going to mention, the top of the list, is Justin Verlander. He was pretty clearly the SP1 this year, regardless of what format you played in. Michael, first of all, do you think we're going to see Verlander have another season like this? Where do you think he will be next year? What are your thoughts on Verlander here initially?
Yeah, he's tough for me because I'm very, like, ageist, I guess you could call it. when it comes to pitchers getting older, I always tend to stay away, or I don't view them as valuable as most other people do. It's hard to say he's not going to pitch well, because when has he not pitched well in forever? You know, it's basically just the age thing, and, you know, will he get injured at some point? But yeah, I mean, he was easily, I mean, yeah, number one pitcher in fantasy last year, because he had that ridiculous ERA, sub two ERA, sub one whip. You just can't beat those numbers. So I think it's interesting that his strikeout rate was going up in the second half compared to the first half. So maybe he was starting to get into the swing of things more. But even so, with that, it still was his lowest strikeout rate since 2017 for a season. So I'm just wondering if that's going to continue to start to be a trend now where the strikeouts aren't going to be as many. But, I mean, when you get ratios like he provided, it's hard not to like that. I currently have him as like a top 15, top 12 starting pitcher. I don't know where he's going in terms of DCs.
48. 48 is ADP right now.
Overall
48. The 18th pitcher off the board.
But that includes relievers.
So it's Clase and Diaz and Hendricks are the guys going ahead of him. So I believe he is the 15th SP off the board. Yeah.
So I'm actually higher on him than most. Okay, interesting. I would not have thought that. I would think so. I would have thought more people put him top 10.
Oh, you know what? Hader as well. I missed Hader in there as well. So bump
him one more. All right, I'm close. All right. So I guess I'm right on consensus then. So, yeah, I think he's going to have a solid season, obviously. I mean, I would be shocked if he had a ERA over like 3.5. But it's just a matter of, you know, can he stay healthy? How many innings? And just hoping that cliff isn't there where it just falls right off.
Yeah, there's been a lot of people who've mentioned this, that he's not a guy where the ego will allow him to go out there and pitch to like a 5+ ERA and just kind of be ushered out the back door in his career. I don't think that's what he wants. That being said, though, I think we could still see, like you said, a top 10 kind of SP, close to top 10 kind of SP season from him. I'd be a little worried about drafting him any higher than 48. I think if you're getting him at the beginning of the fourth round, that's all right. But in like the third round, it feels a little bit risky still. If you're going to be jumping up that high, the minimum pick on him is 32.
Yeah. I think he's got to be your SP2. If you want to start off starter, then I can see you grabbing him as your SP2. So like, let's say you start off with, Burns, and then you
Yeah.
go Verlander or Cole Verlander, then that makes a lot more sense to me because you have that solid number one who you know is going to be out there throwing innings just in case. So I could see that. I could see taking him, as long as he's your SP2 though.
Is there anywhere that you think that he is, like, do you think he's going to go back to Houston? Do you think he might end up going to the last thing I saw was the Dodgers were talking with him. What do you expect there? Do you have any expectations?
I mean, he's gonna go to a winning organization at this age because I feel like he's just gonna want to keep winning. I don't think there's any other reason. He's not gonna go to, I don't know,
Oakland.
Pittsburgh, yeah, I think he'll end up with one of the big teams, either go back to Houston or if he goes to the Dodgers, something like that.
Yeah, I think probably the most likely spot is Houston. I thought there was a chance that if he won the World Series, he might just retire. Like, what else is he playing for at this point? You know,
Yeah.
maybe he wants 300 wins, but like, what is he at right now for the career?
I mean, it's
244.
hard to retire when you're coming off that season too,
Yeah, it's
that.
just like, how do you even beat that? Anything else is going to be a disappointment. You know, a sub-2 ERA, a Cy Young, a World Series. I thought there was a chance, but it looks like he's gonna be back. He'll be maybe the Tom Brady of the MLB for the next couple of years. We'll see what he can do. But the next guy we're gonna talk about is Sandy Alcantara. He was, you know, I think depending on where you play, he was likely the SP2 for the season. What he gave you was 14 wins in 228 innings. He was incredible. Now, a lot of the concerns with him that people have are that a lot of his value is volume based. Is he somebody that you are in on drafting next season? Currently as ADP of 26.
Yeah, he's going as like a top three pitcher, I think, right? Something like
I
that.
mean, yeah, he's the
Four.
third. Depending on how you count Ohtani, Ohtani's technically first, but yeah, the third straight up pitcher off the board.
I mean, I'm a little more reluctant to go with him. I have him at seven, but it's not that big of a difference, and it's just because, he's got that amazing power sinker. He's like a fully developed pitcher, is there's no holes in his game. The only hole is that the strikeout rate isn't there, and it's basically never going to be there at this point. Some people thought that, I think it was 2021 at the end of the season, he had a big uptick in strikeout rate, and people thought that he was finally taking that step, but he didn't. The entire 2022 season, his strikeout was only 23%. So, it's still good, but it's obviously those strikeouts. You need Sandy to pitch 200 innings for him to be a value where he's going. And there's no reason to believe that he won't because
Yeah.
he's always done it. He's always been healthy, but it's always a possibility. Injuries are unpredictable. So, in my opinion, I just feel like, why am I going to spend, a first, second round pick on him when if he gets injured and he only goes, let's say 170 innings, he's not going to be worth that pick.
Yeah.
So I think he's just so volume based that it makes him very risky. And he was amazing last season. And I think that that's the only way you're basically taking him at his ceiling right now, which just doesn't make any sense to me. You're trying to draft where you could gain some kind of profit. But at the same time, his floor is extremely high. So I do get it in that sense too. But yeah, I think there's definitely some risk there, and I think it's just he's going to be too expensive for my taste.
Yeah, I think there are some guys, specifically like DeGrom, if you're looking for somebody, and I know DeGrom comes with his own set of risks, but he has a lot higher per game value. Let's say DeGrom only pitches
Yes.
100 and 110 innings or so. Wait, well, let me put it to you like this. Would you rather have, let's call it 120 DeGrom innings or 180 Alcantara innings?
Oh, that's so close. That's tough. Well, I mean, you gotta figure replacement value that you could find for DeGrom.
Yeah.
You would probably end up profiting off DeGrom more than Sandy there. So I guess I would lean DeGrom. It's
Yeah,
so
that's
hard,
a
but
that's
DeGrom is just so ridiculously good.
yeah, that's the thing with him. And he's going about 10 picks later, pick 35. He is
Right.
the eighth starting pitcher off the board, which is still kind of rich considering everything. But the next guy here, unless you have thoughts on DeGrom you want to get in real quick, Julio Urías is the next guy I want to talk about, but do you have anything else to add on DeGrom there first?
I was just going to say DeGrom's another pitcher where I would take him if I'm starting pitcher, and if I had Cole or like I did do a draft a draft and hold league, and I started off with I think I started with Cole, and I really wanted to get DeGrom, but he got taken right before me, and I ended up with Strider, which isn't bad either.
No, that's
But
a stomach.
yeah, I just think those guys, like in my opinion, I feel like DeGrom, Strider, I think you need to, or like a Verlander, you need to pair them with a really, really good anchor, just because they bring more risk to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. As for your eyes, though, it's crazy. I feel like everyone just looks the other way with him for some reason every year. I think he's the ERA leader in the past 2 years combined. I mean, a 2.12 ERA last season. In the last two seasons, oh no, I'm sorry. In his last 495.1 innings, he has a 2.63 ERA, which is absurd. So he's just insanely, insanely consistent. Talk about high floor. He's basically, I want to say, like, if he started getting the innings, he's essentially what he could be Sandy, essentially, if he gets those innings. So I feel like you could probably wait later for him if you want that type of guy and just take a shot and hope he hits like 190, 200 innings, which is possible with him.
Do you have
So yeah.
sorry, not do you have any worry, like when you look at the pitching indicators, they're a little bit higher, specifically this year, like a 371 FIP, 381 xFIP. Does that worry you that he's going to come crashing down a bit?
Well, that's just because he's not a high strikeout pitcher, and those metrics tend to lean towards higher strikeout pitchers. I mean, Sandy is the same thing. I mean, Sandy Sierra is 3.4, whereas Julio Urías is 3.6. So, I think I get it, but it doesn't worry me too much personally because, again, I mean, ERA indicators can say what they want to say, but when a guy's done it for 495 innings, how can you really go against it? And it's just, I can he take a step back? Sure, it's possible, but it's hard to go against him when he's just been so consistent.
My worry is that people are maybe looking a little bit too closely at the win total. 37 wins over the last 2 years. You're going to get a lot more wins when you're pitching for the Dodgers, but that's such a volatile stat that I don't think that, he's a good pitcher. I think he's a very good pitcher, and you can even argue like he's a great pitcher. But I've seen a lot of arguments for him that are based on the fact that he's won 37 games over the last 2 years, and that's not something that's could be so sticky. He might win 12 games next year. He might win 13. So. That's just something that I've noticed as a big argument that people will make, wins, 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 but they don't always come the way you might expect. Still, he's been great during that period, 2.57 ERA as well. But I'm a little cautious personally about Urías. I don't know if I'd really want to take him where he's going in the third round. He might be a guy, like you said, pair with another pitcher, and personally, because I just feel a little bit less secure in taking him. Any other thoughts on Urías before we move on, though?
No, just that you're right. Wins are the most unpredictable stat out there. So, you're 100% right about that. He just happens to get a lot of them.
Yeah.
But you can't rely on that at all.
Next guy we're going to talk about is somebody that I'm a Toronto homer. If you guys listen to the show regularly, you know that I tend to favor the Toronto players. Specifically, when they are as good as Alek Manoah has been in his career so far, I'm just too stupidly a huge fan to even weigh in really fantasy wise. I love him so much. I think that he is so undervalued where he's going in the 60s, fourth, fifth round pick. What do you think about Manoah? Am I crazy to love him so much?
No, I get it. I think he's just the full package. I just don't know if like I just don't know if he's gonna ever get more. We would like for him to get more strikeouts for fantasy. Real life, fantastic pitcher, obviously. Also a good fantasy pitcher. I just don't think he's. I don't know if he's ever gonna be that ace. But yeah, I mean, he was really good last year. I mean, he had four pitches all that performed really well and that he knows how to utilize really well. I just think his ceiling is capped a little bit, but I know people have mentioned it. It's not just because it looks for me, but he does kind of remind me of Lance Lynn, where I think he's just going to be a really solid pitcher, uses what are his best pitches, knows how to use them, and will always have really good ratios. But I just think that the strikeout rate will cap his upside.
This is not something analytical, but you just watch him pitch as much as I have, and I'm sure as much of a lot of people who love pitching have, and he just has something that the stats will not tell you. Even just watching the All-Star game, I've mentioned this a few times over the last few months, he was mic'd up, having chatter in his ear from John Smoltz and everybody else telling him what pitch to throw, and he's bantering back, he's being funny, and he struck out the side. Like, the dude just has something, and even though the indicators were a little bit higher. I mean, 2.24 ERA, 3.35 FIP. Like you were talking about the strikeouts, the lack of strikeouts might cause that. But I have no problem jumping even a little ahead of this ADP, personally for Manoah. He's at 65, so beginning of the fifth round in a 15-teamer. I wouldn't mind taking him at the end of the fourth, depending on what your team looks like. I'm a huge fan. Like I prefaced, fairly biased on Manoah, but I think the dude is a complete stud.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. Some guys you just watch and they just, they're just different on the mound. Like a Scherzer, they just have like that attitude about them or, that grit about them. And I definitely see that with Manoah as well.
Yeah, the dude's incredible. Talking about incredible though, the next guy we are going to mention is Shohei Ohtani. Just strictly talking about the pitching side, he had a legit case a lot of years. You'd look back on this year, he had a 15-9 record, 2.33 ERA. He could legitimately, looking back, could have won a Cy Young in a different year. Do you think that we're going to continue to see him? I mean, he's gotten better as a pitcher over these last couple of years. Is this kind of a peak year for him? Do you think he can get better? Is he going to get worse? What are your expectations for Ohtani?
Oh man, I think he's just, this is how good he is. I mean, selfishly, as someone who likes pitchers, I wish he didn't hit, because I feel like he could easily win multiple Cy Youngs, this guy. Strikeout rate's ridiculous. The stuff is just so good. He doesn't really get hit hard. His slider and splitter are just amazing. My only issue with him is that he also hits, and that just increases injury risk tenfold because he's playing two different positions. But there's like no holes to poke when it comes to his pitching, because throws ridiculously fast, has great breaking balls, and gets a ton of strikeouts. It's just, his innings are going to be capped because he plays offense. And the Angels like to go six man, all that stuff. But yeah, I mean, can't hate on him. I mean, I know in Yahoo leagues he's a pitcher only, hitter only. So as a pitcher only, I mean, you could take him as a top 20 starter, honestly, and I couldn't hate on it. It's just the injury risk that you gotta be careful of.
Yeah, the thing with Ohtani is, like you said, on Yahoo, and I like to talk a lot about Yahoo. I think NFBC formats are, the dominant format that are talked about in a lot of podcasts, but a lot of people do play Yahoo. In their rankings, he was 16th overall as a pitcher. Just as a pitcher alone, he finished as the 16th overall player. And I'm just pulling up what he was as a hitter. I think he was slightly worse. He had 19th as a batter, two separate versions of him. They're both top
So
20 players,
ridiculous.
both top 20 players. And there is
Insane.
an increase for risk, especially with a guy who is playing the last couple of years, 150 plus games. He's not playing the field, sure, but he has to go through all the pitching warmups, take batting practice, and all the rest of it. There is certainly a risk. And where he's going in drafts right now, he's 6.8, I call it 7 by ADP. It's not without its risks. It's, he goes down on one side of the ball, he's down on the other side as well. So I don't love him in the middle of the first round. Would you take him in the middle of the first round?
Oh, I wouldn't, but that's just a mental block I have, because I can't grasp the concept of how to use him properly. I just, like, I don't know. It would drive me insane, because I would put him as a hitter 1 week, and then he would dominate his start that week, and then watch him not do much as a hitter, and it would just drive me crazy. So I pretty much refuse to touch him. But I 100% am behind it. I can totally see it if you know how to use him right and happen to use him, in the right, put him where he should be in the right moments, then it makes complete sense, because he's easily a top player. I mean,
Yeah, it's
he's
like you said, the 6-man rotations that they do there. I don't know that he's has he ever had a 2-start week for fantasy before? I don't know that
no,
I don't know that he has.
I
So
don't think so.
you're pretty much, if you're taking him in an NFBC league, you're just going to be using him as a batter. So unless you're looking at like a juicy Oakland matchup on the mound and they're maybe playing a 5-game week, then you throw him in there as a pitcher.
Right.
But for the most part, you're losing all of his pitching value. 28 starts this year. I wonder people who took him how many of those starts they actually got him in the starting lineup for. So definitely something to consider. Next guy we are going to talk about here is Zach Gallen. I am not a Gallen gal. I think that that phrase gets thrown around a little bit too much in terms of Gallen's fans, but I definitely am a huge Zach Gallen fan. Do you agree with my, well, maybe not my assertion, but are you a fan of Zach Gallen, as I butcher my phrasing there?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they had the Houston pitching coach come over, and I feel like he made Gallen even better than what he already was, because I loved him before that even. Anyway, I mean, it was really just health stuff that he was battling the past couple seasons. But his first fully healthy season, and look what he does. Goes 100 innings with a 2.46 ERA. He had that one crazy 6-game stretch where he didn't even allow a single earned run. He had 5 starts with double-digit strikeouts. The reason why he's so good too is he has such a deep arsenal and so many pitches he could go to. And then on top of that, he has really, really good command too. So he's really just a full package. And if he could continue to stay healthy, I think he's gonna sustain his success, because I really don't see much there to think that he will not perform like this again moving to next season. Especially, like, I mean, I know that the Sierra shows a 3.28, but and so is the XFIP essentially, but you kind of go in the middle of those two, and that shows him having like a high 2 ERA, which is insanely good. You're muted.
And I was looking at a
There,
Fangraphs
yeah.
page, did not even realize, of course, pulling rookie mistakes there. Yeah, his price was pretty muted. His price was, well, it was kind of muted this last season. He was going around like pick 150, and a lot of people jumped on that, took advantage of him. And I think with the Diamondbacks, they are a team that is just up and coming. They're going to keep getting better and better. They had a 20-21 win jump from last season to this season, and then next year it probably won't be another 20, and it almost certainly won't. But they're a team where he is going to be the SP1, and they are looking like they could make a little bit of noise. I think maybe they could be a borderline playoff team next season, I think, and Gallen would be a big reason for that. Tony Gonsolin is the next guy I wanted to touch on. Now, he's not somebody where you'd think you're doing a show of the like elite pitchers in the league. Typically, you're not going to hear that, but we're going through based on 2022 value. And he was, exactly that. He was one of the best pitchers in the league, 2.14 ERA. He had a 16-1 record, which is just ridiculous. I know that win loss is kind of overblown a little bit, but 16-1. He only threw 130 innings. But what do you think about Tony Gonsolin going forward? I'm, for one, am a little bit nervous about drafting him this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be a little nervous just because he too somewhat has always had health issues. And then, metrics really show big time regression. He too also, though, isn't very high strikeout pitcher. But I really like his stuff, so it's kind of hard for me to move away from him. And because he has two really good breaking balls, the four seam is not good, unfortunately, and that's pretty much his crutch. But he seems to be able to work around that, and that's because he works for an organization who's really good at getting the most out of their pitchers. But with that said, I mean, in the last 2 seasons, he's pitched over 200 innings to 2.44 ERA. So again, another pitcher who just has so much success, and it's hard to kind of go against that. I could see him settling in at like a low 3 ERA with a good, decent strikeout rate. But then the innings are just a concern, so I think that lowers his value a little bit. But besides that, I personally think he's pretty solid. Doesn't let up a lot of home runs, is just good at what he does.
It's actually a a little bit cheaper than I thought. He's going to pick 163, the 66th total pitcher off the board. That feels, I mean, I was expecting a lot higher before I took a look at that. I was thinking he'd be closer to the top 100. But at that range, it really doesn't hurt. He's going a couple picks after Chris Sale. I would rather take Tony Gonsolin pretty easily there. He's going behind Pablo Lopez, Jesus Luzardo, Lucas Giolito. I thought he'd be a little bit higher than those guys personally, but I guess people are factoring in, you know, he had 207 BABIP. He left 84% of runners on base. It might not be the prettiest, but it should still be, you know, probably worth that price anyway. Looking at this, maybe it changes a little bit. There's still a long way to go before the season, but if he stays in that range, it's not terrible. Next guy we're going to talk about, and this actually, maybe I'll bring up the question that we had from our friend Eric Cross. Well, maybe not even, it wasn't even really a question. It was more of a statement. McClanahan over Cease. They are the next two guys we are going to talk about here. What's your take on this debate between these two guys? Their value was fairly similar overall this season. Your thoughts?
Yeah, they're both super close for me. I could, I feel like if I had multiple drafts, I would take McClanahan and some, and then Cease and some others. Both amazing stuff. So McClanahan was, I would lean McClanahan because he had that stretch where he was absolutely dominant, like ridiculous, over 35% strikeout rate. Just an insane first half. And then, you know, the shoulder injury came and I felt like they kind of rushed him back too early. And he just wasn't the same when he came back. So I don't think he was truly healthy. And he had those couple bad starts. But it's hard to poke holes with him because his stuff is very, very good. Like Cease, I mean, they both throw really fast. You know, good velocity. They both have really good stuff, good breaking balls. I think Cease might potentially have a little bit better stuff, but the problem with Cease is his command. It's gotten better to the point where he's actually a good pitcher now, but I don't know if he'll ever get to that point where I think he'll be like a top two pitcher, just because he still struggles at times and he does kind of give up too many walks. You know, his walk rate is still over 10%, which isn't great. You know, so I don't know if he has been improving it since he's come up, but I don't know if it's ever going to get to that point where it's good enough for him to be like considered a top two pitcher in the league. So with that said, McClanahan does have very good stuff too. And I think he does have good command. So I think McClanahan could become a top two pitcher moving forward. And, yeah, I think he's going to come into this season healthy and he's just going to be as dominant as he was before his injury.
Yeah, the thing with McClanahan, and it's been a popular topic, people talking about why McClanahan wasn't good or maybe he's just, you know, not as good as we thought he was earlier in the year. Those last couple of starts, or the ones that were the problematic ones against Toronto and Houston, 4 earned runs, 5 earned runs. And somebody made the point of, you know, if those starts are just mixed in, let's say one of them's in May, one of them's in August, and he still ends up where he ended up with the 2.5 ERA, are we even caring at that point? Does it even matter? You know, it looks bad because it's kind of the last thing that we're remembering. The end of the season was not the greatest, but he was all right in his playoff start. I'm agreeing with you there where I don't see really much need to be concerned about him. When I did my initial starting pitcher rankings for the season, which need to be updated, because I did them right at the end of the regular season, he was my SP2. And a couple people thought that it was crazy. I think it's probably okay. And they're going to move around a little bit, but he's being drafted as the SP5 right now. Six. He's the SP6. And Cease is the SP4. And that's excluding Otani from the conversation. So when talking about picks, it's the same thing, 30 and 31. But it's pretty close. With Cease, do you think he could be like a league average walk rate kind of guy? You think he can get to 8%, 7%, 8%, or is that too much to ask?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, and it's the big question. I don't know. I guess we will see. Because again, like I said, he has improved it. His command was even worse the years prior. But if he does, then I think Cease can definitely be in the conversation next season of, Colin Burns. But it's a big if. It's not something you could really predict, honestly. You just gotta, I guess hope you hit on it. But that's why I'm McLennan him above him. I think he's a tad safer. And to your point too, I mean, think about it, if those bad starts happened at the beginning of the year, right? Like let's say his first couple starts were the bad ones, and then he dominated the rest of the season, he would probably be a top three SP right now. So like you're right. There's definitely a recency bias there. And just because it was at the end of the season, everyone thinks that that's gonna be him moving forward. But you gotta realize too, in 2021, he was showing signs of being an elite pitcher also. So I think he's a pretty safe bet to be a top five starting pitcher. I have him as my SP3.
Okay, there's also the talk always of the Rays are going to be the Rays and the innings are going to be limited. But even with the injury, he got up to 166 this year. I could see him touching 180.
He pitched 7 innings a lot last season. A lot.
And I think
I'm not worried about that.
to their credit, I don't think they let him go past 100 pitches very often. I think for the most part, he was topping out in the 90s. So they weren't going crazy with him, 115, 120 pitches a start. They were being cautious in their own way, and I think it did pay off and will continue to pay off. Could see, assuming he's healthy, another 30 starts or close to it and 100 and close to 180 innings, I think. One more guy I wanted to talk about here today is Corbin Burns. He's pretty safe. He's the SP1 by ADP. He's going at pick 14.89. It's kind of interesting. No one's really taken pitchers in the first round this season. His minimum pick was 9, but for the most part, pitchers are being avoided. Are you a big Corbin Burns fan? Are you drafting him with confidence here at the end of the first? What are your thoughts in general?
It's hard to go against Burns. I mean, I did have someone point out to me, and which I knew about was his last couple months, he kind of fell off, and they were asking me if I was worried about it. So I looked into it, and I didn't find anything that led me to believe that that could continue. Like, he didn't lose velocity, his movement didn't change on his pitches, like everything was the same. I think he just got a little bit unlucky, but and then plus he's never pitched 200 innings before. So I still have a lot of confidence in him. Still one of the best, in the league in terms of ERA predictors. He has 3 pitches with a swing strike percentage over 19%, which is just absolutely ridiculous. He's just such a good complete pitcher, and I feel like there's no reason to not be confident in him anymore. And I think that's why him and Cole are just by far the number one and two. They're just both so consistent, so good. And I know Cole's ERA wasn't elite this year, but you're going to be getting 190, 200 innings from them. And the strikeouts are going to be above and beyond, and they're just going to be solid. So.
I had Cole when I did my initial rank. I had him third behind McClanahan. Just a little bit of worry about how he's performed down the stretch. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe we'll just touch on Cole really quickly. You have Burns 1 and Cole 2. Is that how you have them, or
I've Cole 1, Burns 2.
you have Cole 1? Okay, so he is firmly your SP1. You don't have any worry really going down the stretch like he has these last couple of seasons. Like if you're in a head-to-head league. He hasn't really helped you so much in your playoffs these last couple of years. Is that just nonsense, bullshit? You don't care, or is that something to think about?
Well, so I think for one last season, I think he was definitely unlucky. I mean, like I said, I mean his ERA indicators are absurd at like the top level. Like Sierra xFIP all under 3, and just showing that he's definitely had some bad luck last season. Plus his home run per 9 was abnormal, and that home run for fly ball rate too. I don't think that's going to stick. I don't think he's going to have as much of a home run issue as he did last season. Which is kind of weird because it was opposite for everybody else. No one basically had home run issues because of the ball. But I think so. Cole has just been so good for so long. And when you're trying to take a starter, I feel like you're trying to take the guy, especially early on, you want a starter who has a very, very high floor. And I think we saw like the worst season we'll see from Cole, which is really good. I mean, like a 3-5 ERA isn't amazing, but like for that to be the worst outcome you're gonna get from him, but you're still getting a ton of strikeouts, you're still getting 200 innings. I just think he's super, super safe. And nothing fell off from him compared to the previous years. Like he still has his velocity, he's still striking people out as much as he did. He still has a ton of vertical movement on his pitches. You know, there's nothing in his profile that's showing to me at least that regression is coming. So I think this was just an abnormal, weird season for him. And I think he's going to be sub 3 ERA. And I think he's a very safe bet to be a sub 3 ERA.
Yeah, I think that he is still absolutely one of the most elite pitchers you can take. In terms of the whole like first round pitcher argument, is that these guys? I know you're one, number one and number two SPs, but if it gets to pick 14 and pick 15, are they guys you're taking, or would you rather wait a little bit, go for one of your SP3, SP4 kind of guys? What's your thought there at the end of the first round?
Yeah, I mean, me personally, if I'm at the end of the first round, I'm taking a pitcher. I'm actually starting pitcher. I'm kind of going different way than everyone else is. And I think I understand what the way the landscape is, but I think with the changes, with the shifts, and you know, the what if they go back to more happy ball, as you want to call it, and what if they want to. You know, I feel like they want more offense to happen than MLB, and I think they're going to do things to make that happen. And when something like that is going to happen, I feel like I want the best of the best pitchers then, because those pitchers who were good last season might not be so good this season, and that I think the starter pool might not be as deep as we think. That's just my own opinion. I know a lot of really, really good fantasy players. I've seen their drafts already, and they're not taking starting pitching too early. They're waiting until like the fourth round, basically. But me personally, I mean, it's different. If you're in the beginning of the draft, I get it. Like, I'm gonna take a hitter. But if I'm towards the end, I personally would like to be starting pitcher, and definitely going pitcher in the first round.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with that. I think that there are just so many great hitters to take in the first couple of rounds, and there are certain categories that are really going to dry up your home runs, your stolen bases, your batting average in particular. Not really so much home runs, more stolen bases, batting average that are going to be gone. And you're still looking like, if I'm looking down the ADP numbers here, I'm seeing guys that we mentioned, you're seeing that are pretty affordable. Zach Gallen at pick 75. We didn't mention it, but Kevin Gausman at pick 70 or 69 on average. I think that's really good. Manoah going in the mid 60s. There are still, Max Fried, 66. There's still a lot of values. I can keep going on and on. Musgrove and Yu Darvish, Framber Valdez going close to pick 100. I don't think it's, crazy, crazy deep, but I think you can. There are a number of strategies that are really viable, I think is the best way to put it. Pocket aces, you don't have to do that necessarily, but you also don't have to just, take your first pitcher in the seventh round. I saw a couple of draft boards where, your first pitcher off the board for a particular team is until like close to pick 100. There are a lot of different ways that you can go about it, specifically this year. The pool is looking very deep. We got a couple of questions on Twitter. Nothing too hard hitting here, more so in the way of fooling around. The Fantrax Toolshed boys had a little bit of fun here. Chris Clegg wants to know, and we should actually just take a second here. Congratulations to Chris on his gig at PitcherList. Great job. Great job to both sides of that, Nick. Great job getting Chris, and Chris should do a fantastic job, especially because the Fantrax Toolshed is not going to be killed off like I initially thought when I saw that tweet. But Chris wants to know, what is or who is your favorite Survivor contestant of all time? I'm personally not a huge Survivor guy, but Simeon, what do you have to say here?
Oh man. Yeah, I mean, my answer is gonna be Parvati, but it's like such a typical answer. But she is I just out of every season she's in, just like she captivates me. Just the way she plays, and I think she's just so beyond good. But then too, I could say Tyson as well. I just think he's just extremely entertaining. But so I'll just go with those two. But I feel like everybody would pick those two.
I've watched like a couple episodes here and there, but I've never sat through a whole season of Survivor. It's just never
You
been,
should.
not that it's like I don't like it or anything. I've just never really like given it a proper chance. They're still making new seasons. It's still happening, right?
Yes, it is
They still
correct.
make it. Yeah. I'll give it a try. I'm sure it's on one of those streaming services or something, but just one last question here, from Aaron Pags from Reliever Recon, MVP Baseball 04 or Mario Superstar Baseball 2005. Is this some kind of inside joke that I don't know about?
No, I don't
Yeah.
know. I think they're just probably considered like some of the better video games for baseball. But I always played MVP, so I'll go with that.
I played some MVP. I never played the Mario Superstar. Actually, maybe I did once or twice, but I'd
Don't
go
think I
MVP.
ever did.
I was a 2K. I played a lot of 2K baseball when I was growing up. I liked Wii baseball. You actually got to swing the controller around. Have you ever played any of those? You ever play that one?
Yeah, I have. Yeah.
Yeah. That was my gig. But thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining me here, man. I really appreciate it. I wanted to get somebody who knows a bit more about pitching than I do, and you know a hell of a lot about pitching. So I really appreciate you taking the time. You want to just tell everybody about what you got going on, about the new venture that you've recently kicked up with some great guys. Do you want to tell us all about that?
Well, I mean, like you said, you follow me on Twitter as SP Streamer, where I like will tweet random things. But I started Gain the Edge Fantasy. It's a Patreon with Mike Curlin, George Montanez. You would probably know him as Bubba on Twitter, but Brian, and basically we all cover different things, but it's us four, and we're just putting content out daily in our for our Patreon, and then plus we have a Discord chat and all that kind of stuff. So if you want to like get to some content that's behind a paywall, it's not really expensive, honestly. But we're going to be putting out some really good content. We're putting together a draft kit, and we're all going to be doing different things in season, so there's just going to be a lot of content going on in there.
The streamers are still going to be on Twitter, or are they going to be behind the wall?
So my streamer picks will be on Twitter, but if you want like the analysis behind it and the streamer chart that I've always done for free, that's going to be behind the paywall. But my picks will, I'll still be tweeting.
Great. That's awesome, man. You guys should go check that out. Go follow Michael at SP Streamer. Thank you once again so much for taking the time. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. You guys can check me out at JoeOrico99, at EthosFantasyBB, and also go check out sportsethos.com. We got a ton of stuff going on over there, baseball, basketball, football, everything you can think of. So guys, until tomorrow, take care and have a great night. Cheers.